This is Rocket Science.
Sonia.
And I'm Justin.
Today we are bringing you guys a few pieces of space news and our reactions to these pieces of news. The first piece actually happened yesterday. For the first time in roughly 50 years, humanity has made it back to the moon. Ooh.
Yay!
I don't know if any of y'all were following the moon landing, specifically a spacecraft named Odysseus, nicknamed Odie. Odie landed on the moon last night. However, the entire process was very nerve-wracking because Odie is quite rebellious and did not stay in touch with their parents.
I love the story building going on over here.
Typical children.
There were a few points in which there was a signal blackout, I believe, and there was simply no reception, and no one had any idea where Odie was, whether it crashed, whether it landed, until they once again received a faint signal detected that Odie had indeed safely landed on the moon.
Exciting stuff.
For real, what a major achievement.
Might be a good time to invest in the company that has that behind this mission, Intuitive Machines. They are public, you can trade your stocks. I think their stocks are doing pretty well. As of today.
Probably. Yeah. Can you imagine their stocks are all the way down?
It went up 40% since yesterday. And oh, I believe it has a market valuation of about $1 billion now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Should have traded.
Should have traded. Missed the opportunity.
All the stocks out of certain companies.
It's still like roughly at $10, $11.
Yeah, not bad, actually.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Not
it's like
a
sandwich
day for everyone else. But that's a singular stock.
Yeah, you only get one.
This podcast is not financial advice, but I mean, if you're interested, they actually have a really fun ticker. It's LUNR, Lunar.
That's oh. So cute. They're not hiding anything right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't taken before.
Right?
It's such a good one. Mm-hmm.
I read this thing that said NASA gave Intuitive Machines a 50% chance of success. So they were like, oh, you know, this will probably fail, but it's okay.
It almost did. It was close. It was close to failing. But a little bit about why we're choosing to launch something to the moon at this point in time. Yesterday, I was at astronomy class, and the professor briefly commented on this mission. And he just said, this is a very weird mission, like, implying that it didn't really make sense to him why NASA was expending resources on landing on the moon. I think it's two reasons. First one, political. Like, the US really wants to be the first country to get back to the moon and have that clout. Does that actually matter? And do people care? Who knows? But the second scientific reason is that Odysseus wants to is intended to scout out a specific area on the moon that we speculate to consist of frozen water or ice. It's near the south pole of the moon, and it's suspected to be home to stores of water ice, which could be converted to drinking water or even rocket fuel for future lunar missions. So Odysseus is supposed to walk around on the moon and do that.
Isn't that the Artemis project, where they try to send a probe to see if we can mine that the debris of ice for fuel?
Not familiar.
My guess is that like if it was, then it was probably to see whether or not anything exists like that. Like just to see if there's ice to begin with. Mm. And I think now that they know that there are like some regions,
interesting.
Then maybe like this one is more official. Okay, if we can some, or actually two reasons. One, to maybe actually like probe, I don't know what they sent aboard the ship. But a second reason could just be like, okay, can we get a successful back and forth going? So if we sent this one up there and it was a success, can Intuitive Machines send a bunch more in the coming years?
Because
I think this took like, I don't know how long it took to make, but it took like more, a week to get up there.
The whole spacecraft is only expected to operate for 7 days on the moon's surface, and then it's going to be too cold for the spacecraft to continue operating. I think it's surprising to me just how little time it is that the spacecraft is actually functional in collecting real data as compared to how much money it goes behind the mission.
I think it's the same thing, like a lot of the money that went behind this mission was definitely like the startup costs. And then if they were to replicate it, they'd have a lot of the resources available. And so theoretically it would probably cost a lot less.
Interesting.
I think another thing I wanted to say about your point about like the political aspect of it, this has definitely not been the first moon mission in the last 50 years. A lot of countries have in fact tried to get to the moon, but they have not been successful, which is another reason this private company's success is really big for the state, for the United States. In August of last year, a Russian moon missile called Luna 25 quite literally crashed into the lunar surface after their engines misfired. And then last month, a Japanese lunar lander tried to, actually I think they did touch down safely, but they couldn't actually do anything because it was a safe kind of, right before a crash landing, they landed at an angle that they couldn't receive any signal from, and they couldn't actually collect any power, and so it just kind of died and probably is there as debris right now.
It was also surprising to me, it's just humans have landed on the moon 50 years ago. Why is it so difficult to do it again?
Mm-hmm.
It seems.
Interesting. I'm pretty fascinated by the, like the lunar ice of 2 years ago, we, like the CSI Club, participated in a competition hosted by NASA specifically addressing this issue. And we were awarded $10,000 for our design for a rover that would mine and transport these debris so that they can extract hydrogen for fuel. And I believe that there was a company in Florida who had a very similar, I guess, idea as we did, and they moved on to the next level. And if you were to win this competition, I believe they awarded you a couple $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so that you could actually attempt to build the rover.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was for the Artemis project, but I could be wrong. And that's because a couple million dollars does sound like a lot of money, but when you think about transporting fuel, one estimate is it costs around $500 per kilogram
mm-hmm.
of fuel, or about $37 million to refuel a ship. So the amount of money that it would save to be able to extract that hydrogen and create fuel is astronomical to them. but yeah, and also the really cool thing about that would be if we were to succeed in that, the the travel, let's say for just quote unquote normal people, would be significantly cheaper. You know,
right.
Yeah, because we wouldn't have to bring that payload up there. Yeah, but that's cool. I didn't realize that this Odysseus or Odie had that in mind when they were going. I thought it was more about weather and searching for maybe a place for astronauts to go and land at some point,
both.
Right?
I see. Yeah, I think maybe just because it is a weak timeline, then maybe it is, like, I think the primary goal is probably like trying to find a base where to land. But I know they specifically chose, like, I don't know if IM specifically chose this, but I read something that NASA specifically chose an area that had, like, might have ice near it.
Ew. That's cool.
Do you guys believe that there's ice on the moon? Is that real?
I believe so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I definitely believe so.
Really?
When I was working on that project, it was a given that there was ice up there. It's like beneath the regolith or something. And I don't know if ice is the right term, but more so little bits of those molecules. So would that, yeah, would that be considered ice?
It could be like not only water, hydrogen, but like other somethings.
Right.
I'm not a chemist. Something that contains hydrogen that can be extracted.
Yeah. The device that we created was pretty much mining for rocks, because it was a lot harder than a normal, I don't know what a normal rock hardness is, but yeah.
Much harder than a normal rock.
A super rock, some would say. I thought all of the like social media stuff was really cute, because like even though this was an IM mission, there was a lot of collaboration that went into it. Like NASA played a huge role in this whole ordeal. And when they finally got signal from Odie, NASA tweeted, "Your order was delivered, .. to the moon," with a little box emoji. And I just think it's like so cute.
That's very cute.
And there was also like someone, once they got signal, the first thing they said was, "Welcome to the moon." And I just think that's like so adorable.
That's pretty awesome that they succeeded.
Okay, on a similar vein of space exploration, also relatively recent, we have some news from the Ingenuity helicopter that is on Mars with the Perseverance. So Ingenuity and Perseverance are just two helicopters on Mars. They're doing some exploration, they're flying around, scoping out the terrain, getting data on Mars' atmosphere, just so we can learn more about the planet. And as of January 18 of this year, 2024, Ingenuity's rotor blades were damaged while it was landing on its 72nd flight. So Ingenuity is officially retired. So to pay homage to this helicopter, just have a few things to share. So Ingenuity originally was only intended for 5 flights. It seems to be that NASA has this consistent trend of setting very low expectations. So every time those expectations are wildly exceeded, everyone's really happy. As mentioned, it was only intended for 5, but it ended up flying on 72 flights, which is very impressive. Similarly, it broke its own expectation for how high it was going to go, as well as how fast it was going to go. I don't have specific numbers, but the expected height it was supposed to fly was maybe around 10 feet or something, but it ended up flying much, much higher than that. I want to say 100,000 feet. And speeds as well, its final achieved speed was a couple times faster than what it was supposed to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, NASA always underestimates like how well anything's gonna do, which I think is a good model when you're dealing with stuff that has such a high like failure rate. But to go from 5 flights to 72 is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, that must have been quite a low bar.
I think they said we need, like, they probably were like, okay, 5 flights will be enough to get, like, however much data we need. Ideal case, we do more, but you know what? It's fine. That's really cool, though.
Wow. If it was just 5, think about how expensive, if you were to break down the cost per flight, some expensive data acquisition.
She had a good
one.
Very good
one. Salute.
Salute to Ingenuity.
We salute you.
There's so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
So but yeah. I do like, sorry. Okay, I was going to say like the commercialization of space is something that's really interesting because even though NASA is a huge part of a lot of these missions, the fact that like a private company is the one that actually brought us to space, to the moon in like 50 years is wild.
It's capitalism.
Yeah.
It's what America believes in. Mm-hmm. The invisible hand will get us to the right place.
I mean, it's working.
Guess so.
I think it also like, speaks a lot to the idea of like colonization moving forward, because I know right now it's more like, okay, which astronaut, like a landing base for astronauts, but I think like obviously the ultimate goal is to colonize the moon or like other celestial bodies. And so I think like when you get to the idea of like a private company running this, I don't know how the selection process is going to go, and it's probably going to be even more expensive flights than like whatever the round trip thing is.
Wow.
Must buy intuitive machines first.
The Elon Musk empire.
Rename it to intuitive apps.
I love every article and how it says an update from the company on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. Are over it yet?
That is interesting how it is led by private companies, mm-hmm. and how that would play with, I guess, regulations and laws. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to colonize a place, to me, that seems not something a company usually does.
Right.
But it brings me back to like the East India Trade Company, you know, back in the day when they literally had armies doing their bidding and were more powerful than certain countries and nations at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a great thing. So it does make me a little wary, but maybe we'll do it better this time.
The fact that they are collaborating a lot with NASA, and NASA still has to approve every mission from the States. So hopefully, because it's very heavily regulated, there are more checks on what's going to happen. But either way, I think we're still pretty far off from any type of colonization. If like 2 out of 3 of our moon missions are going to fail, there's still a lot of room to just improve on the technological aspect.
Maybe they just aren't telling NASA everything.
Ooh.
Keeping NASA in the dark.
Now we're talking.
conspiracy.
Part 2.
I'm excited to see what happens, though. I mean, like, a week timeline's so short. And
right.
They're definitely already getting data. So, just to see what they get.
Yeah. It's awesome. Great stuff in current news for space.
Maybe it's all fake.
Oh no.
What if NASA is making all this up?
It feels fake. I asked you guys earlier about this, but a former Disney Channel star turned lawyer turned who knows what else, Bridget Mendler, just started a space startup and she has a degree in like anthro. So if you have the money, you can have you start your own space startup and
wow.
send your own rocket to the moon.
You do it. Do it by yourself. Damn, that's it. That's really cool though. Way to be, way to make me feel like I'm not accomplishing much in life. But yeah. Okay, well, that was good stuff. We hope you guys enjoyed our updates on current news. Please like and subscribe.
Hit the bell icon. This is rocket science.
Signing out.